"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I was flipping through random things today. By the way, shout out those that have sent me some social medias. It's what am I on Twitter, guys? Oh, at Voice of Merrill, M-E-R-R-I-L-L, at Voice of Merrill on the Twitter machine. I can never remember. I should probably know my own handles, right? But and I'm supposed to be all this, social media is the way of the future, but I'm just an old fart, so what do I know? Shout out to those that have sent me messages on Facebook or on the Twitter machine, whatever else it might be. You guys are great. Or I got an email from a guy earlier, too. Good people. Appreciate you. So I'm flipping through as I'm looking at what's going on in the world today and what's happening. I see this headline from the LA Times. Making a salad might be getting more expensive. Could climate change be to blame? Now, purely anecdotal here. But it seems to me that as we watch inflation affect nearly every aspect of our lives, some areas don't seem to be inflating as much as others. I look at things like, and they fluctuate. Do these commodities based on outside factors, but the general inflation rate seems to be avoiding certain things. Produce seems to be one of those things. I think of the price of produce today versus when I was a kid, and it really should be maybe double or quadruple what it was when I was a kid, just based on normal inflation. And it's not. It's not. And again, purely anecdotal, and maybe I should pull up the numbers and verify that, but it just seems as though the produce, and I think a lot of this probably has to do with subsidies that the different farmers get, it just seems that we have not seen the cost of healthy food go up as much as it probably should have. Meanwhile, the cost of cruddy food certainly hasn't risen as much. I remember being in college and remember those cubes of Pepsi that you could get? I was a big Mountain Dew drinker when I was younger. I ended up giving that up 1 year, and I haven't touched it in, it's been probably 15, maybe almost 20 years since I've had a Mountain Dew. But I was huge. I would drink probably 8 to 12 cans a day of Mountain Dew. I was addicted. It was bad. And I remember paying for those cubes, the 24 packs, and I think it was like $4.99. On a really good sale, it'd be like $4.99. I think now there's something like $6.50 or something. You know, it's been, that was college. So that was like mid to late 90s. And I mean, we're talking well over 25 years now. And the price really, it hasn't doubled. And it really should have based on just normal inflationary rates, normal cost of living. It hasn't. So some things just don't inflate as much as what we're accustomed to seeing those happen. The price of your produce, however, may start increasing. I was reading this LA Times article. Tony Alameda is a farmer and has been growing lettuce, spinach, kale, and other leafy greens in California and Arizona for nearly four decades. Lately, he said there have been many more noticeably bad years in a row. 2022 being the worst that we've seen, according to Alameda, vice president of Top Flavor Farms, a family operation that he runs with his brothers. Outbreaks of soil-borne disease and insect-transmitted virus ravaging the Salinas Valley and causing thousands of acres of lettuce crops to wilt. They said it's getting worse and worse and worse. Experts say bad luck alone may not be to blame. The virus and patient's necrotic spot virus, or INSV, and the disease, Pythium wilt sounds like something that we diagnose our mortal enemies with, have been around for years, but warming temperatures driven by climate change are creating more hospitable conditions for thrips, which is the insect that carries the disease. Thrips. Are you familiar with thrips? You should be, because thrips carry Pythium wilt. Oh, that was fine until I ran into a nasty thrip and I ended up with a side case of Pythium wilt. The California Leafy Greens Research Program has been investigating this, saying over the last 10 years we've seen milder winters. It's really allowed the population of thrips to build in our environment. So, basically, we know we need to be better stewards for the environment. We know that the consequences are things that we're all quite aware of, changing weather patterns, melting ice caps, rising sea levels, bomb cyclones and polar vortexes, as well as atmospheric rivers and heat waves that are devastating different areas. All these different weather patterns are changing. With the weather pattern changes, we know that certain parasites may thrive, whereas certain essential animals may struggle. Migration of whales may change. All these different things. And yet, we're not good at being good. We may know that something is bad. We may know what the consequences are, but we just feel like doing something about it is really inconvenient. Or it's kind of pricey, so I'm probably not going to do anything about that. In fact, there was this initiative in the UN Biodiversity Conference. Now, interesting thing about the UN, it's tough to get a bunch of countries to agree on anything. And a lot of that has to do with the differing viewpoints. And it's funny that the viewpoints of the United States represent one of the largest nations, not only land size, but also population wise in the world. Or what, one of the top five? India, China, US is, I don't know, three or four, something like that. We're very large anyway. And so we are a global metropolitan area versus some of these smaller global rural nations. And so in the same way that we see the rural versus the metro interests being represented by the different parties in Congress and going at each other, the United States has a varying viewpoint and varying interests when it comes to the UN, certainly different than those in those other countries. So we have more of a metropolitan viewpoint in the UN, and these smaller countries have a very rural viewpoint, and so oftentimes the interests don't necessarily align. Except at this UN Biodiversity Conference, the CP15, they call that. Somebody proposed at the CP15 that we preserve 30% of the planet's land and seas just to stop the decline in biodiversity, right? Protect different species, make sure that there's certain environments that are available for all species, 30%. Let's protect 30% of the globe. You can decimate 70% of the globe. You can do whatever you want, but this 30%, we're just going to make sure is okay. That's it. Just 30%. You'd think that we would want to preserve more than 30%. 30% seems to be the bare minimum, but just the same, 30%. So basically, the UN said, hey, countries, raise your hands if you want to just preserve 30% of the world. 190 countries raised their hands and said, yep, we would like to preserve 30% of the world. At least, we think probably more would be a good idea. But yeah, 30 seems like a pretty good place to start. Good. Two countries did not raise their hands. One of them is the Holy See, which barely counts as a country. It's like Vatican, right? They don't even hardly count as a country. They're the smallest in the world. Doesn't even count. It's a country inside of a city. Doesn't count. The other is us, the United States. We said, nope. Now, why is that? Because the United States, we don't like being on the committee. So we just decided not to be a part of the UN Biodiversity Conference. Literally, we did not vote to protect 30% of the land and sea, total, 30% of the planet, total, under protection, because we didn't want to send a delegation. That's it. That's the deal. We had no interest in being a part of that. And so we don't get much of a say. Yay or nay. We just sit it out on the sidelines. And what's the reason? Because we don't like being part of committees at the UN. Okay. Yep. We could make a difference, but how about if we just elect not to? That seems like a smart tactic. Good job, leaders. Speaking of leaders, tech gone bad. In just a moment, Chris Merrill in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere in your iHeartRadio app. Chris Merrill in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640. It's more stimulating talk. You will be stimulated as we talk about the banned books in our next segment. They are interesting, to say the very least. Oh, no, these aren't books that are banned from the school. I'm not getting into that debate. What are you talking about? You're crazy? I'm a fill-in host. I'm not opening up that can of worms. No. Far more interesting banned books. I'll tell you where they're banned, why they're banned. That's in our next segment. First, I wanted to discuss some of the bad tech. I've been following the Elon Musk drama. Musk saying now that he will resign from the Twitter as the CEO, but he is going to find a successor, and then he's still going to be, he's going to oversee some aspects of the company. Oh, and he's still going to own it. Still going to be a thing. If you'll recall, Elon Musk put out a poll saying, hey, do you want me to step down as CEO of Twitter? And I will abide by this poll. And then he lost his own poll in a landslide on his own social media outlet. He sort of intimated that maybe it was because of bots that were out to get him. But that doesn't really work when he's the guy that's in charge of eliminating bots. So by saying, the reason I lost my own poll is because bots did it, is kind of like saying, this is all my fault, and even when it's not my fault, it's still my fault. Right? If he lost his own poll saying that he should step down as the CEO of Twitter, if he lost it because the bots got involved, then wouldn't that show that he's not an effective leader when his whole thing was how he was going to get rid of bots? Yeah. So anyway, it was kind of radio silence there for a few days. Now he says, nope, I am going to step down. Tweeting his decision last night in response to an unscientific and unrepresentative poll, as Twitter polls all are. The landslide, 57.5% of respondents said, fired him from his own job. He joined Twitter Spaces audio chat in the early morning today, saying that the company was previously on track to have a negative cash flow situation of $3 billion a year once revenue and debt servicing that came with Musk's acquisition was taken into account. He said, that's why I spent the last 5 weeks cutting costs like crazy, saying that he met with several Twitter advertisers, calling their requests reasonable. Some advertisers have been pulling back from marketing on Twitter since Musk took over. As uncertainty reigned, Musk said Friday that advertisers simply want a return on their investment. He expects that Twitter's cash flow will reach break-even in the next year, citing his plans to reduce expenses and charge subscribers for some services. He said, that's the reason for my actions. They may seem sometimes spurious or odd or whatever. It's because we have an emergency fire drill on our hands. That's the reason. As we can all surmise from Elon Musk's erratic behavior on Twitter, this explanation is too much after the fact. If he had said ahead of time, look, here's what we're doing and here's why we're doing it, that'd be one thing. But when he starts doing random polls and swearing he's going to protect democracy and then start limiting certain people and all this other stuff, it's just, it doesn't really jibe, right? So anyway, he says he's going to step back. One of the issues that he had to do with saying, I'm going to ban accounts that are following private jets, and somebody's following my private jet. At one point, he said, the account that follows my private jet is an example of free speech, and I don't like it, but I'm going to let that account survive. I won't ban that account because I believe so much in free speech. And then he banned that account because he said it was a threat to him. Come to find out, this threat, how he claims that the people following his planes and how it's giving real-time information, it's not really holding water. The Guardian is now reporting that the police have provided their very first official details of this alleged stalker incident. South Pasadena Police Department is confirming that an incident involving two vehicles was reported to the police on Tuesday night. This has been last Tuesday, I think, right? Said that a member of Elon Musk's security team is currently a suspect in the investigation, not a victim. A 29-year-old man from Connecticut told the South Pasadena police on Tuesday that a driver in another vehicle had confronted him in a parking lot, accusing him of following him on the 10 freeway, on the 110 freeway, excuse me, and then struck the man with his vehicle as he was leaving the parking lot. In other words, Musk said, this guy's a stalker, and he put the picture out and said, does anybody know this person? Musk was complaining that he was being doxxed, that his information was being put out there without his permission, while at the same time putting out a photo of someone and claiming that this person was some sort of a stalker, and then asking Twitterati to dox that individual, only to find out the police believe that individual is actually the victim and that the true assailant is the driver of the vehicle that Musk said was being stalked. South Pasadena police learning the suspect involved in this case is believed to be a member of Elon Musk's security team. A spokesperson said the department is contacting Elon Musk's team, seeking to investigate both sides of the incident and get statements from everyone involved. Detectives are reviewing video footage of the incident. The man who made the police report in South Pasadena is not being named because it's an ongoing investigation. Yada, yada, yada. You get the point. Anyway, the whole reason for banning some of these accounts turns out is basically his own paranoia. Oh, and I also saw another story in the LA Times that is somewhat related to this. Private jet travel isn't so private after all. Some upset owners have had enough. Oh, I'm sorry. You're super wealthy and people are following your flight path? Sorry? Not sorry? It could be worse. You could be really famous and have paparazzi following you everywhere. So, sorry you're super rich and people know what your plane looks like. Maybe fly commercial next time. Be a whole lot easier to just not share your ticket information with people. Not really feeling bad that people know what your plane looks like. Sorry. Sorry. All right, I'll tell you about those banned books, where they're banned, why they're banned, and some of them are pretty hilarious. It's next. Chris Merrill, in for John and Ken. KFI AM 640, live everywhere on your iHeartRadio app. I was trying to get through all the different banned books in California prisons. I got down to basically through the T's. I'm trying to... Oh, Trust No Bitch 1, 2, and 3, also banned. Okay, there we go. So the books are banned. The Marshall Project came together and figured out what books are banned in what prisons. Over the last year, the reporters for the Marshall Project asking every state prison system for book policies and lists of banned publications, about half the states said that they kept those lists. They contain more than 50,000 titles. They created a searchable database so that you can see for yourself which books prisons don't want incarcerated people to read. I downloaded all of them. Not the books, the complete list, the whole database. I downloaded the entire database. And then I isolated California for obvious reasons. Some of these are interesting. Some of them are obvious. Some of them are a bit curious. And some of them I really think we have to think through and say, is that worth banning? And here's what I mean. There are a number of books that are banned in the California system that seem obvious. For instance, 100 Deadly Skills is a book that's banned in the California system. Okay, cool. I get that. No problem. Why? For threat and security reasons. Okay. However, the book 100 No Equipment Workouts is also banned. And why is that? They say it promotes violence. Now, I haven't read the book, so I don't know exactly, you know, hell if I know, maybe it does. But they say that it advocates or encourages violence or hatred, group disruption, racial animus, and it does not merely describe the same. It actually promotes these things. I don't know how No Equipment Workouts promotes racial animus or violence, but evidently it does. Some things fall under a category called safety and security. For instance, banned in the California prisons is a book called 101 Skills You Need to Survive in the Woods. Big part of me goes, yeah, I get that, because you certainly don't want for somebody to escape and then suddenly have the survival skills they need. Remember a few years ago, they had somebody, a couple of guys got out in upstate New York. I think there was like a love triangle with a guard there, and the guard kind of helped them escape. And they were out for, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks, something like that, trying to make their way to Canada. One of them was captured. One of them was shot. And surviving in the woods and the skills to survive in the woods seems like something they certainly could have used. So you understand why that would not be permitted in the prison system. Makes perfect sense to me. There are a ton, and I mean a ton, in the state of California. I'm looking, hold on, again, this is according to the Marshall Project. Let me see, let me get down here. State of California has over 1,400 banned books in the prison system. Many, 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 many of these are banned for nudity or sexual content. Some are just called obscene material. Doesn't really give us much of a description on what that means. It's just called sexually explicit. All right, so I'll give you, there's some of these that just don't make a whole lot of sense to me, but some of them do. For instance, there's a book that is somewhat innocuous sounding called Your Child's Development from Birth to Adolescence. It's been banned in California prisons. And why? They say for nudity. And when you think through it, you go, okay, a book on child development that's been banned for nudity means that the book itself probably has photographs of babies that are nude, or even during adolescence may show some changes to the body, scientific in nature, but you understand why that might not be in a prison system. Maybe you've got some pedophiles in there, whatever else. You don't want anything that could be seen, even for scientific reasons, be seen as child pornography. Makes sense, right? Makes perfect sense. But there are a number of others. Maybe I'm just way off on this. Maybe I'm too progressive on my notion here, but so many of these are banned simply because they have any sort of sex in the any sort of sexual or erotic material whatsoever. A book about AC/DC. AC/DC Maximum Rock and Roll. It's a book on the band. Is banned, banned, B-A-N-D, banned versus B-A-N-N-E-D. The band book is banned because it has nudity. One might only assume that that means that there's a, and I haven't seen it, but maybe it's a shot of AC/DC on stage and there's a woman flashing her breasts. Right? So it's banned. Are we so naive as to think that if we just ban anything that has a naked body in it, of age, of course, that if we just ban all this stuff that suddenly prisoners aren't going to have sexual desires? What are you, nuts? Who cares? I don't care. I would much rather them have a magazine and a fantasy of a magazine or a book or whatever else it is than to take things out on their cellmates. And then there's other books that I go, I don't know that that should be banned.
Did you see any comic books on the list? Just out of curiosity. Because
yes.
I got to tell you this. You're not going to believe this. I'm also a comic book writer. I got a letter from a prison forwarded to me by my publisher a few years ago that they banned one of my comic books in a prison. And I don't remember which one it was. All my stuff is objectionable. It could have been Army of Darkness. It could have been Vampirella. But it was one of the proudest moments of my life as a writer.
Lots of graphic novels. Army of Darkness. Let me see if that one... I don't see an Army of Darkness. Would you call it Vampirella? I told you I got stopped at the T's.
Okay. All right.
I got stopped. I ran out of time during the commercial break when I hit Trust No Bitch 1, 2, and 3.
I missed those. Thank God there's sequels.
V for Vendetta.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
A Vampire Dance. I don't see a Vampirella on here.
You don't want to get the prisoners all riled up. Anything could do it.
Some of those, though, I just think are almost like useful in prison. Let me see. Yeah, like the Naughty Word Search Book for adults only has obscene material in it. They say they have to ban it. Like, who cares? The Naughty Word Search Book is there's the reason for crime. No. Mobile phones and tablet repairs is banned in prison. It's considered contraband. No, that's considered a skill they could be learning. Merriam-Webster's Visual Dictionary has been banned for safety and security reasons. The Men's Health Best Weight-Free Workout is banned for safety and security. We'll put weights in the outdoor areas for people to build muscle, but we don't want them doing it in their cells because, well, Lord knows, if they get too strong, they might become their own personal weapon. Meditation, the ancient Egyptian path to enlightenment, is banned for being obscene. Some of these just make me crazy. Letters to Penthouse, Volume 8. Hang on, this is trippy. Volume 8, 16, 21, 23, 24, 29. Seems like we've skipped over a few of those letters to Penthouse that are acceptable.
So some were okay.
Exactly. Also, STH Straight to Hell 66 and STH Straight to Hell 67 are banned. However, STL Straight to Hell's volumes 1 through 65, not banned.
You got to draw a line somewhere.
I guess so. A book called How to Beat Up Anybody is banned. A book called How to Disappear and Never Be Found. Some of these, it just kind of blows my mind. I mean, Felon Fitness is a book that's been banned for security reasons. I don't know any felons that would be reading that book outside of prison. It seems like they've just eliminated the entire potential audience for the book Felon Fitness. Escaping Alcatraz, also banned from California prisons. But there were a few that really jumped out at me that I thought, well, that's interesting, especially when you are creating new relationships behind bars. For instance, and only banned since 2021 is the book called Penis Genius. That is no longer allowed up until September of last year, I guess. The Anal Sex Position Guide is now banned in California prisons, which, again, seems like it would be very useful. Oddly, the book Mein Kampf, not banned in California prisons. However, Ask Goblins of Auschwitz, banned in California prisons.
Sorry, what was that one?
Yeah, the Ass Goblins of Auschwitz.
I see.
I didn't know there were any, but evidently there were. Just another one of the horrors of the Holocaust.
H-O-R-R-O-R-S.
you do whatever you want with it.
Not with a W.
We'll talk not so sexy time. That is next. First, we'll get with Mark with something far more serious. It's a KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere in your iHeartRadio app. Christmas time is a special time of year for all of us. It's also a time where there are different hazards in our daily lives, that we have to take into account. One of those hazards, probably not one that you thought of, but can sneak up on you. And that is anything that would have to do with sort of exploring your sexuality with a seasonal theme. I think that's fair to say. It's probably the best way to say that. Yeah, there is a doctor now that is warning that you probably need to be careful with your Christmas ornaments. Hang on, it just got removed. The link I had. Let me bring this up. I hate when that happens. From the New York Post. I appreciate the New York Post doing the God's work here. A doctor warning against this... Doctor warning against this surprisingly stupid triple X Christmas trend. Don't masturbate with ornaments. United Kingdom doctor raising eyebrows across social media by warning people of the dangers of doing such a thing come Christmas time, which is apparently an actual trend. I guess we're calling things trends now instead of challenges, which I'm glad. Saying it's not advisable to masturbate with Christmas ornaments. Indeed, trying to make Christmas come early with ornaments apparently hazardous to one's health. There is an X-ray attached, and it shows someone with a candy cane that's been inserted curvy in first. I always love good medical x-rays. They say even Christmas confections pose a threat due to hygiene issues. Oh, yes, somebody has got a full ornament. One of those round glass bauble has been inserted. They're warning against that. X-ray included in the story. Fantastic, New York Post. Really appreciate that. So, you got to know. There's some things that you didn't think you needed to be warned about, but you did. And that's one of those things. So, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Keep the menorah to yourself, but not so to yourself. Also in the UK, and remember, it was a British doctor that was warning people. Evidently, in the UK, they have real issues. This is a story that I saw making the rounds earlier. The story, however, is a little bit older. Yet... It was popping up all over today, and I don't know why. It's like somebody just got word of it. The story happened last year, though, but an Army Explosive Ordnance Disposal team rushing to a Gloucester Royal Hospital following a report a patient had a munition in his bum. The item had been removed prior to the police arrival, and the Army Explosive Ordnance Disposal team contacted. The man said that he slipped and fell on a 2.2-inch shell. Typically fired from a World War II tank artillery gun. The round was reportedly from his own personal collection of military memorabilia. Yeah, of course. Slipped, fell, landed on an old munition. I don't know what they're doing in the UK, but there may be something in the water that's causing people to insert things that shouldn't be inserted. Just remember, the proper tool for the proper job is what's necessary. Mo Kelly is in for Tim Conway Jr. next. Mo, my man, what do you have coming up here, friend?
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
You too.
Happy Hanukkah. Thank you for that PSA of what not to insert in my body for this holiday season.
Seems obvious, but the British need the help, I guess.
Well, evidently Americans need that help, too. Don't think that we're that much smarter than everyone else.
I like to feel superior, but you're absolutely right.
You know, American exceptionalism at its best.
Yep.
Well,
you're right.
Coming up tonight, we're going to talk about the top 100 movies of all time, according to Variety. They published this list, clickbait. Of course, it's for us to argue about on the radio. Like tonight, we're going to gratuitously dive into it. We have to talk about the most popular Christmas cookie in every state, according to Google. And Grubhub has determined what is the most popular food ordered in 2022. And Judy Buss is engaged. So much more. Oh. So much fun.
I saw that. Oh, yeah. Judy Buss is engaged to Jay Moore, right?
Yeah, I had some casual interaction with Jay Moore over the years when I used to work in sports radio, so I have some anecdotes to share.
I do, too, but I bet yours are nicer than mine. Mine weren't, like, bad. It was just... He kind of big-timed me a little bit. He got a little Hollywood on me.
Yes, I have some similar stories. I can say that, but nicely.
Okay.
Though. Yes, absolutely. Okay. You're yeah. I will confirm your suspicions.
Very good. All right, Mo Kelly is next, in for Tim Conway Jr. I'm back for the boys again tomorrow. Have a great evening. Chris Merrill, in for John and Ken. KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.